everybody back. I'm going to take the liberty, unless members object, of inviting Mr. Lee to come up and sit in the witness seat so that he can be a source of information for us as we deliberate here. That way he gets on record through the tape machine. So, the next item on our agenda is council discussion. And I will throw the floor open to anyone who wants to start. Let me make a suggestion based on advice from Mr. Hubinger, who's the veteran around here, which is that maybe the best way to approach this is to have a motion on the floor that's being discussed rather than to focus, actually, the discussion. But it's not mandatory. It's just a suggestion. So, who wants to proceed first?
Mr. Chair, if I...
Mr. Schroeder.
If I may, first of all, Representative Benson, thanks for your comments earlier. I think we all see that this is a much bigger issue than this council is going to be able to solve in a short order. And given the time frame that we have, it seems to me that the issue is the intersection of public policy, politics, and governing. You know, the policy is the concept that we would attract and retain the best there is within reason. The key part is within reason. Governing is how do we make government work. And then the politics of this are, you know, we haven't talked at all yet about the legislature, and I'd be anxious to hear what recommendations there might be on that front. Mr. Chair, it seems to me that that this council could spend, and we may spend, a significant amount of time hearing from each and every agency, just as we've heard from Housing Finance and from MnDOT, and certainly they're entitled to make their and the judiciary, they're entitled to make their interests known. But I would just say that we're given the amount of time that we have, I'm mindful that it's not very much. My instincts tell me that the lowest hanging fruit of the three parts of the council's obligation, judiciary, executive branch, and the legislature, might be the judiciary in terms of coming to some resolution on a recommendation for the council. So if I may, Mr. Chair, I'm going to pass around. You'd ask for a motion until everyone has a copy of this in front of them. Mr. Chair, if I could, I'm asked Ms. Haas to be available in case there are questions regarding this matter. What we have, council members, what is in front of you is a resolution by the Judicial Association that presented to the council last week, last Monday. Judge Smith from Ramsey County, from the District Judges Association, he's not from Ramsey County. I forget which county he's from. But,
Judge Johnson from Ramsey County.
Yes, but this is signed by Judge Smith. I can't remember which county he's from, but in any event, forgive me. This is a resolution by the Minnesota District Judges Association. The front page, of course, is the whereas clauses that states the rationale behind the resolution and the recommendations the decision of the association is on the second page, items 1-6. And I'm going to make a motion that the council adopt these recommendations.
I'd second that.
1-6 on page 2 of this handout?
Mr. Chair, correct.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yes, I'd second that.
Ms. Mahalan?
Mm-hmm.
Seconds. All right. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Benson.
Mr. Hubinger, can we encumber, this is a two-biennial. I'm wondering if we even have the ability to, this is simply a recommendation, but in terms of encumbering the next biennial budget to holding to 2%, the out biennial, if that's even possible. I mean, we're just recommending, but I mean, in terms of it being part of this proposal, I'm wondering how that works in terms of one legislature encumbering the following.
Mr. Chair and Representative Benson, the statutory assignment to this council is to make recommendations that this council would make for January of 2015 and January of 2016. Mm, okay. The last six, only the last 6 months of that, or only the first 6 months of that recommendation is in this biennium. So we're, by making the recommendations that are required of the council, we're making a recommendation that affects the next legislature.
Any other discussion? Mr. Scully.
Mr. Greg, if you could just say that as the proposal here from the judges would be for fiscal year, be submitted for the fiscal year 14-15 on the bottom. What is that? Is that July, what, July 1 of 2000?
Mr. Chair, it would be July 1 of 2013 and July 1 of 2014.
Okay, all right. So these increase when, okay. So the 4% that they're asking for, and Bob, maybe just help me along here. It's already been a long day. That 4% would kick in. When would the salaries start for the judges then?
Mr. Chair, it'd be July of this year.
Of this year, okay.
So let me ask a point of clarification, Mr. Hubinger. I thought I heard you say that our statutory charge is to recommend salaries that, at least for the judiciary and for at least, I think, the legislature, too, that take effect beginning 2015?
That's correct.
Right?
Mr. Chair.
And so let me follow up further that in paragraph 1 of this recommendation, this is the recommendation that salaries be increased by 4% in each half of the next biennium, which would begin.
Mr. Chair, as I understood it, it would be July 1 of 13 and July 1 of 14.
Okay, that's the way you're reading the resolution.
That's what I understand that the request is, or proposal is.
All right. Senator Miller.
Just to follow up on your question, so this is for, I'm confused about the bienniums because we're supposed to be doing 15-16, but we're talking 14-15. So.
Mr. Chair, the confusion is that the council is making a recommendation for a calendar year, January of 15, which is fiscal year 15, and it's only the last 6 months of this next biennium for which the legislature is appropriating funds.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Haas is
here. Mr. Schroeder.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, thank you. Ms. Haas is here from the District Judges Association, and perhaps she wants to illuminate something on this resolution of the association.
Mr. Chairman, Nancy Haas, Legislative Counsel for the Minnesota District Judges Association with Meshley and Kramer. I just wanted to help maybe make a quick clarification for you. The resolution that you have handed out was adopted by the entire District Judges Association. It was also later approved by the Judicial Council of the courts. And what we're doing is we're asking you for two things. We're saying on the side where you get to make recommendations that aren't necessarily – that are kind of outside of your regular scope for right now, could you weigh in on the current budget request? Because that's what this speaks to. This is the current budget request that was asked for on behalf of the judiciary and then passed along by the governor to the legislature. So that's why the years are different. And so it's 4 and 4%, which is before the current legislature for this biennium. So I think you would have an opportunity to both kind of support the current request, but then you'd also have an obligation under your statute for the next biennium.
And Mr. Chair.
Mr. Schroeder.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Haas, am I correct that Governor Dayton's budget of January, granted he may modify that subject to the forecast later this week, I believe, but am I correct that this reflects his recommendation to the legislature in his budget? Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, it does.
Any other discussion? Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that, I think that it's important, and I'm not necessarily opposed, but our committee is supposed to be looking for or setting a recommendation for the next biennium. So I'm just cautious if we start the conversation about the current biennium, we might be here longer than the next couple of weeks. So again, not that I'm opposed or supportive, but we should try to focus on what the jurisdiction is of the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think some of the points and were provided with some material about the elected official summary of benefits. And when you start looking at judges can get up to almost 77% of their high five in their pension. They get 40 days of vacation a year. Certainly their raises over the last number of years have been minimal, but if you factor into account raising health care costs, et cetera, of which they haven't participated given the participation in health care premiums for single, minimal for family. Nobody recently has settled for 4 and 4 anywhere in state government, and I hope that the recommendations that come out of here take into account kind of just the big picture and what other groups are coming. I'm not prepared to vote on this tonight, but if you wanted us to, I would vote a resounding no, because I think we have to have some type of continuity across the whole system, and just to pull the judges out here with not even sending it out before the meeting started or anything, I think it's a wrong approach if we are going to make a comprehensive recommendation across all the plans. And I don't view them as a low-hanging fruit. Some conversations that I've had with judges since last Monday, they appear to be more concerned about the lack of pay increases of their clerks and their staff, and the recommendation there being 3 and 3, and they're not convinced that there is low participation and people want to be judges because of the salary situation. There's a lot of other benefits with that, and they think they're still getting good applicants to be judges.
Got it.
Unlike some of the testimony that I think is more compelling around engineers and some of the other things that we heard tonight.
Any other discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I guess I would hope that we would have some discussion around it. I mean, if this is a starting point around, I know that, you know, if a bill would come before state government finance and we were to look at it, there'd be a fiscal note attached. And I think quite possibly there was in our first testimony how much this is additional going to cost the state. But I think that does have to be factored into the total picture of compensation that's going to come from this commission, you know, in terms of, you know, once we're all done, if everybody's going to get 4%, we're talking about a big hit on the state budget. And my hope is that we'd have some conversation about how that would look.
Any other discussion, comments?
Mr. Chair, we would be happy to provide you with a copy of, I think we testified last time just about what the numbers were around a 4%. And also, since you're looking at the entire package and the discussions related to the pension contributions, we've been working very quickly to put numbers associated with the numbers that will be judges will forego over the long term related to these pension contributions. So we'd be happy to share that with you as well.
Mr. Hoffman.
No, I think that number was 1.7 million and the cost to state. And then, of course, with the tremendous pension benefits, I think it has to be part of the larger conversation because. And I'm going to have to ask a point of clarification. Are we going to sit with the defined benefit plans with some of these, i.e. with the judicial, or are we going to a defined contribution plan?
Representative Ben.
I sat on the pension commission, too, and no, there is no talk to go to defined contribution or even a hybrid. This would keep them in a defined benefit plan.
And a higher salary.
And just so that for reference, they're eligible for 76% of their final high five. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm not ready to vote tonight either in trying to, you know, pull this all together and make a decision about where we're to move forward. It's just simply, it is something for us to think about in terms of the real total benefit package and how much money we're talking about.
Any other discussion and comments on the pending motion?
Mr. Chair, just a quick question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does this impact other people's raising the judge's salary? Does it impact others like paralegals? And no. What about those folks?
The statute requires that the legislature specifically authorize judicial pay increases. So what would be before the legislature, they have to approve a specific pay amount, whatever the percentage is, and then fund it.
Mr. Chair, one follow-up. So I heard earlier that it was in the governor's budget, this proposal. Bob, did you say that?
Mr. Chair, yes.
So if it was in the governor's budget and he's asking for it, it'll be discussed at the legislature. Why does this committee have to take a position on this?
Mr. Chair, members, it was the thought of the judiciary, both the Chief Justice, the Judicial Council, and MDJA, that given that the last Compensation Council did not meet and weigh in on this biennium, that we wanted to seek your support and approval of this biennium, knowing that it's a recommendation and it's outside the scope, but an ability for you to do so if you wish.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Schiller.
I want to thank the council members for the discussion. I'm going to withdraw the amendment and appreciate the input. Thank you. I'm withdrawing the amendment.
You are withdrawing your motion?
Pardon me. Yes, thank you. Motion.
All right. Okay. Is there any other discussion? Any other motion, Representative Benson?
Mr. Chair, not a motion, but just for some comfort, at least being a legislator, I'm anxious to get the projections that will come out on the 28th, and because a lot of where we'll move forward in the legislature will come from that in terms of targets. And, the governor's budget and where the legislature might go. And I know that from a perspective of being in the minority, so I'm fully aware that, you know, they'll have the votes to do what they want. But at least it will give me a better comfort level to be able to know where we need to move for recommendations from that also.
And you said that's due when?
That's, we'll know at 9:30 on Thursday, but the rest of the world will know by noon.
No, they'll know by 9:40.
9:40, yeah. I forgot about the Twitter accounts.
Mr. Scully.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Benson, it's been some years since I actually worked inside the legislature, but this Compensation Council, whether the state budget is in the red, the black, or whatever, I think it's important that we make a recommendation to the legislature what we think is appropriate. I'm concerned. As an attorney, I am concerned of the number of judges who have left, and I've had this discussion with Mr. Frazier, or the chairman, excuse me, about judges who have left the bench. And they won't want to say it publicly, but they'll say it privately because of the compensation. I'm not sure what that compensation is. And then to sit here and to listen to the people from the Department of Transportation about, you know, recruiting people, retention and recruitment, that concerns me. And I think that we should make recommendations that keep qualified people, or get qualified people in these positions. And the one thing that we haven't talked about is legislative salaries. I mean, and of course, I'm sure, that's hard for you to talk about it because, you don't want to, pat yourself on the back and give yourself a raise. But there has to be some, some honest, goodness discussion about that. The judges, the people in the judicial branch, they work hard. And I think, the judges that testified last week to us were very, humble about the type of work that they do. Judge Smith talked about when he was in Cass County, I think it was up near Walker, where how he, you know, he was available at all hours of the night to sign documents, you know, search warrants and what have you, and that's important. Whether you work at district court or the Supreme Court, we rely on those people to make really sound decisions. And I'm not saying a salary, you know, an increase in salary is going to make them their decisions more sound, but I think it's important that they get compensated for the work they do, as do you and your colleagues in the legislature. So I think, aside from what the budget's going to be, I think we need to look at, as a council here, to say, this is what we think people should be adequately compensated, you know, the executive branch, legislative branch, and the judicial branch. So that's just my thought on that. But I can appreciate, you know, you being in the legislature, what those budget forecasts mean in that.
Ms. Mulholland.
I would really just second that. Although it's important what the forecast is, and that will have a huge impact and ultimately the enterprise of running the state and what it costs to do it, I think what is sorely missing right now and what is begging for a recommendation is a philosophy around compensation and a plan to get there. Because otherwise, you're not going to make good decisions. And what you had said it so clearly, I think, before we broke, which is we have a very broken system that's arbitrarily tied to things like governor's salary. And benefits really are kind of all over the map when you look at this. Some of these retirement benefits are wildly different than others. So I think it's important to have a clarity on what is the philosophy around compensation and benefits, particularly for unrepresented employees, but I also think for judges and for elected officials as well. But we ought to have a philosophy and a strategy, and we ought to, as a council, bring that to the legislature with hope that the legislature will act responsibly on that.
Mr. Schroeder.
Yeah, I wanted to point a clarification, then I have a question for Representative Benson, but a point of clarification is that the legislature would be voting on the salary increases for the next legislature, so there'd be an election in between, so they would not be voting for them for their own salary increases, and I think we all understood that, and likewise for constitutional officers as well. And Representative Benson, my question to you is regarding pensions. You've mentioned a number of times that you sit on the commission. Thank you for doing that. That by itself is a monumental consideration, pensions, for this council. And granted, you're in the minority, but a member of that member of the commission. Is it true? Would it be your advice that the council rely on the commission to conduct the considerations regarding pension and leave to us matters of salary?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Benson.
No. I think I made that comment the first night we met, and in fact it was informed that actually this commission can make recommendations, so I, by all means, and you know, just to the other two folks, I can't untie myself from the political aspect of the decisions that we need to make. That's not to say, and I prefaced my comments that it's not that I don't necessarily agree or disagree at this point. I'm not going to tip my hand necessarily where we're at with this, but there are other people that we're going to talk about, and I think I want to give some consideration to their staff, the Department of Transportation, and some other folks before I make a final decision on just exactly what I want to do with the judiciary. And that's the important conversation I think that I'd like to have, and I can't untie it from what we're going to hear on Thursday, because that will make some difference in terms of we do need to get this passed out of the legislature, and we just passed a bill for those folks who have negotiated settlements, a 2% increase, you know, that took effect January 1st of this year, and they hadn't had any for 2 years either. So I want to be mindful of all those things before I make that decision. I guess maybe that's a better way for me to put it.
Well, Representative Holt.
And I think, too, it's unfortunate that none of our Democrat colleagues are here tonight. They're the ones that are going to run the ship around here for the next couple of years. And so to have a vote on your proposal with them not even here, knowing that there was going to be a vote on some kind of proposal, it would be really nice to have some kind of recommendation that had broad support of appointees, elected officials from both parties. It would give the the recommendation more chance of holding together and actually going somewhere. And I think that it's going to take a little more time and a little more discussion. And hopefully next meeting we'll have some of our colleagues here too so they can weigh in, because they need to have buy-in to the recommendation as well.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Scully? Mr. Hubinger, the last time you emailed us the recommendations of last council, those recommendations, how many of those recommendations were adopted by the legislature?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Scully, none.
Okay. Or any, how about in part?
None.
Okay.
Mr. Schroeder.
Mr. Chair, we've talked about the legislature and their proposal. We've heard from the judiciary. We've heard from a large part of the administration. We haven't heard from the legislature yet. And I wonder if perhaps Mr. Huber has already reached out to them and has information about what they're considering or how they might want to approach recommendations to the council or not. Can you share anything with us on that front?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Schroeder, I've not been involved in any of those conversations yet.
Mr. Chair, is there anything that would prevent us from asking for that, for the legislature to present to the council their recommendation at their next meeting?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Schroeder, no. I'd be glad to talk to leadership and leadership staff to see if they have some suggestion for the council.
That'd be a great idea.
Want to have a formal vote on that, or do you just want to make it happen?
I think we just had a testimony.
Just so it's not a recorded roll call.
Well, any other discussion, or have we exhausted the topic for this week, and we're going to have to wait until next week when we have more information and to take action, which I suppose risks the possibility we don't get it all done next week and we have a further meeting, which we'll discuss it at the end of this this session.
Well, as I mentioned, I think before the meeting started, next Monday may be rather chaotic for House members. We have a big bill on the House floor starting at probably around 3, depending on whether or not we break for caucus or not, that I expect will go for hours and hours. So
it might be 3 before we finish.
Oh, and that reminds me, I can't remember whether we talked on the record or off the record about the venue for the next meeting. I think you were recommending that it would be easier for legislators if we could find a room in the Capitol so you could move in and out. Is that possible, Mr. Hubinger?
We'll work on that, yes.
Maybe the governor would donate some space.
His room's really dark and dreary. They're hold your paper under the lights on the table.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Miller.
Thank you. Just curious, what is the next step? Does Commissioner Showalter provide us additional information, or do we just have continued? Do we know what this council is going to base our recommendation off of, or do we just continue to? Do we have any guidance from administration, I guess, is my question, or is it all from this group?
I'll let Mr. Hubinger answer based on what he knows. I don't have any independent input from people, but what's happened in the past, Mr. Hubinger?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we've gotten some clear signals from the administration about what they'd like to see happen for agency head salaries. My understanding is that the administration will not have a recommendation on salaries for constitutional officers. And we have some recommendations on judicial salaries from that branch.
So what you're saying by omission is that we don't have any information yet on legislature or legislators, I should say, or constitutional officers.
Mr. Chair, I think that this is about where we're going to be at in terms of input.
And is that typical based on your experience?
Yes.
Representative Holmberg?
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chair, the MMB commissioner did testify about the number of years since legislators have had an increase in, I don't know the exact terminology, but that the governor would take some heat or would support an increase in legislator. I mean, I don't remember the exact word, but I think the commissioner expressed the governor would be willing to stick his neck out on some level to support an increased salary for legislators. That's part of his testimony.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question for the committee is, we're going to come back next week, and I guess what are we going to do? What are we going to compare? I'd like to see some comparisons, the overall compensation, not just the base salary, public sector versus private sector, maybe compared to other states. But or do we just come back and we have this conversation and we start pulling numbers out of a hat, or we think a 2% raise or 4% raise is fair? I guess I'm just asking the committee, where do we go from here so we don't just keep not wasting time, but we have a direction to go.
Mr. Saab, Jim?
Yes, Mr. Chair. In my regular work, both when I was with government and now, I always, whenever I took on a task, I had a sense of, or at least I took people's temperature, I had a sense of what my bosses or those who make ultimate decisions, where they want to go with it. You know, they put me on a certain track. Okay, you're going this way. I think some of the conversation here, I think it's important to know. I think Ms. Holberg, Representative Holberg, was talking about the governor's wish, and I recall when Commissioner Showalter talked about the governor's two wishes. Number one, to eliminate the cap, get the commissioners out from under the governor's cap. Number two, give legislators a raise, even though it's contentious and very difficult. So, and then I would really like to know what the ultimate decision is in the hands of the legislators, the majority, of course, and it would be important for me to know where it's going. Maybe it's too early in the session to even know where it's going to go, but I think we decided and talked about this. It's important to talk about this subject no matter where we are. It's important. Maybe it doesn't get resolved this year, but I think some things needs to happen to have good government and get to that point and compensate people fairly and properly. So,
Ms. Mulholland.
Mr. Chair, I would be interested in kind of a two-tiered approach, and I am right now only speaking to unrepresented or agency heads or unrepresented agency folks. But I do want to get at the other two issues as well in the discussion. But the two-tiered approach that I would love to explore the financial impacts of and what it would look like with maybe some staff help is, in the short term, exploring lifting the cap and preventing this from having to go to the legislature, preventing salary going past the cap from having to go to the legislature. How do you disconnect that? And I don't know what the language would need to be to both lift the cap and disconnect it from having to go to the legislature in order to go to make those changes. So that's the short-term thing that I think would be interesting. But I think the long-term piece, again, for unrepresented employees, is tying it much more closely to market and having a much more holistic approach, which I think is going to take a pretty detailed and thorough look at salaries across the board and ranges across the board compared to market and benefits across the board. And I think that would be the long-term vision and goal. But I don't think we would be at any risk, in my opinion, in the short term, lifting the caps and disconnecting decisions from the legislature, which I don't necessarily think that is the right place for those kind of decisions to be made. I think they should be made on based on performance and internally within a department, and the governor should have the ability to because my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that right now if the governor went to the cap of 126 or whatever that number is, he'd have to go to the legislature to pass that. And that's what I'm trying to get rid of. So I'd be looking for, would be interested in some staff help in what kind of language would work to accomplish those things in the short term with potentially a long-term approach that's much more tightly tied to market.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Benson.
And I saw Mr. Huebinger nodding his head. But ultimately, even if Mr. Huebinger could put that kind of language together, it would require to be put in the form of a bill.
Right.
That would still need to go to before the legislature.
And I understand that.
Okay.
Thank you. But yes, I do understand that.
Okay. Mr. Hoffman.
I guess I'm back to Mike's comment. I'm a little concerned, Mr. Chairman. How do we position a recommendation, or how do we position a response from this committee that will be taken seriously at the legislature? Because I think past history shows that they have more or less ignored everything that's come out of this committee. So I'm just wondering, where do we take the recommendation in order to position it that they will consider it? I'm just asking a question. I frankly am inexperienced in this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Anyone want to respond? I don't know if Mr. Huebinger think it's within his jurisdiction, as Senator Miller would say.
I wouldn't mind taking a stab at that. I think that absent our colleagues from the other side of the aisle, I think one of the things, whatever we would decide, needs to be a bipartisan effort, and so that we can have an impact about, you know, before we go to the floor, is this something we need to do? I mean, I could envision, and Mr. Huebinger could correct me if I'm wrong, but my guess is, after talking to Mr. Lee, that we probably need, unless they already have the money within their budget, we probably need to allocate some money for a study to get an overall, some consulting on what a fair compensation plan looks like from the top down. And I know that most of, you know, our public employees are work with, a contract, you know, so. I'm not trying to get rid of that, but the fact is we have, if you know occupation codes, we have 14,000 occupation codes. This is very complicated, but it's not to say that we can't put something together. But I think it would start with a bipartisan effort from this group, not counting us recommending what our pay raises would be, by the way. That would say that we feel in order for us to move forward as a state and be able to attract the kind of talent that we're going to need to stay competitive, that we think that we need a complete overhaul of the system. And we make recommendations that would include potentially a 4% increase for the judiciary this time. But I think I like your two-level approach. That we make some recommendation to kind of help us, you know, give the governor what he needs in terms of, okay, you want us to do this. Not that I'm all in favor of always giving the governor, you know, I'm in the opposite party here. But, you know, I understand what he's trying to do and accomplish, and I think we can do that in a two-fashion approach, but I would really like to have my colleagues on the other side here before we.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we have our long-term solution. I think this this council should recommend a good study by MMB to take care of that second portion. We can take care of some of the tier one shorter-term issues, but for us to come up with a long-term solution is near impossible for us meeting once a week for the next two or three weeks. But I do think we can probably come up with a bipartisan recommendation to encourage MMB to study this.
Mr. Saab, Jim.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. And I think the study, I think it's a great idea. I second or third what you suggested, the short-term solution, the long-term solution. a study, not a long-drawn study, and pay a consultant a lot of money. I think we have a lot of good information already. MMB has a lot of good information. It's more of validating that information. There was somewhere here I read, you know, if the governor would have gotten 2% raise every year, he would be making $157,000 now. Okay, start. We've thrown that number out a lot, 150. I think it's fair. It seems to be a median in amongst other states, you know, compared to other. And when we're talking about market study, markets shouldn't be just the private, but the public, you know, cities, counties. And, again, the information is all there. So maybe a unbiased third-party validation of what already exists. A lot of good work is there. With MMB, with a portion of government that's general fund, salaries of general fund, and DOT is, speaking of low-hanging fruit, DOT is constitutionally dedicated. They're out of the general fund, so they can, well, they won't give themselves leakage. Well, what happens then, as Representative Holbrook knows, if they get a raise, then you're going to build less stuff, right?
Less cement
than concrete, yeah. Anyway, anyhow, that's all I had, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Representative Holder.
Well, and I think, too, you could probably, with this group, get behind some principles. We don't know what the exact numbers are, but our professional people, the salary range should, you know, be somewhere, you know, no less than 90%, you know, total compensation. You know, I mean, I think you could make some statements in the recommendation that basically say we're way behind the eight ball here. This hasn't been dealt with for years. These are some principles that we think are important to adhere to moving forward for the good of the state, and here's a suggestion how you might be able to get there. And so lay out a roadmap with maybe not filling out a lot of exact numbers, but recognizing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And a path to a solution.
Any other comments or discussion? Mr. Schroeder.
I have a question. Mr. Huebinger, has this commission made a recommendation similar to what we've been talking about for a comprehensive study in the past? And if so, has the legislature taken it up and done anything with that? Or, excuse me, and one other question, if the answer is no in both those cases, has anyone else done something along those lines that could use or be aware of?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Schroeder can think of two. 2007, perhaps, that this council recommended that there be a comprehensive study on compensation for state employees, and I think that didn't go anywhere. 2003 or 2001, there was a recommendation that was there was concern about what individual agency heads were making in terms of salary, and there was a request that there be a study on each agency head's salary and how they ought to be paid in relation to each other. And the legislature did pay for that study to be done, and we got a Hay study by Hay Consulting Group with recommendations for each commissioner.
Anything further tonight? What I hear is a request for one, information from the legislature as to whether or not they want to make a suggestion to us, and Ms. Mulholland suggested some analysis of what would happen if the cap were lifted and there was a disconnect from going to the legislature, and then secondarily, if possible, what would happen if you tied compensation to market.
For unrepresented employees.
To?
For unrepresented employees.
Mm-hmm. So, anything further we should discuss tonight, or are we at the end of our meeting?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we adjourn.
To set a date for another meeting
beyond. Yeah, before we adjourn, let's figure out our next meetings. Can we hold that motion for a moment? It seems to me we agreed on next Monday at 5:30, and there was some uncertainty, at least in my mind, as to whether we reserved March 11 at 5:30 as well. But I am thinking that we may not be able to get everything done. Well, it's probably a certainty that we can't get everything done next meeting and a report prepared and signed off on by all members of the committee at that meeting. So it seems to me that we should have a second meeting scheduled to optimistically finish things off. And I suppose ideally after we get a sense of where this council's going at the next meeting, we circulate a draft report that everybody can review after that meeting and finalize it at the next meeting. That would seem to be the schedule we're on. That fair assessment? So if we're still okay with March 4 at 5:30 as our next meeting, Mr. Schroeder.
Mr. Chair, to the House members, mindful, Mary Liz, of your point of your meetings next week, if we were to meet in the Capitol, and not knowing, of course, exactly what the agenda is, maybe it's not fair to ask if you would know if you would be interested or willing and able to come to the council meetings or not. I'm just trying to get a sense. I know you got excused. Well, I think you got excused last time.
We're not in the majority.
Yes, right.
So we're just surmising from what we've been
sure.
told that Monday the 4th will be the health care exchange bill, House File 5. Sometimes with big bills, you're going at 3 o'clock, breaking clock, yes, and then start up on the floor, which, as far as us leaving the floor, it's all kind of depends on what amendment and what's going on, and if we're under call. Certainly, if they're talking about data practice stuff, I probably have to be there. Maybe Mike doesn't. If we're into all the blah, 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 blah that goes on forever, we might be able to get away and sit for 2 hours in bed and not miss a thing. But blah, 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 blah. Blah. So the nicest way to say that.
Mr. Schroeder, are you asking whether there might be a better day than Monday to meet, given the legislative schedule?
No, I don't think I was asking that. I was trying to get a sense. Mary Liz, I think, is Representative Holberg, excuse me, has kind of answered the question I was trying to. I'm asking you to predict the future, and I think you've done a great job. I appreciate that. And if the council meets, I think you might see it as a relief to come join us.
Ms. Mulholland.
Mr. Chair, it seems like we have maybe an opportunity then next week to spend some time on the legislative and elected component of this that would end up having to come back to the full council anyway. But if they weren't here, maybe it wouldn't be the end of the world because it'll come back to the full council anyway. I can't imagine they're going to want to chat about their salaries a lot. And it seems like data can help. I mean, I'm a big believer in data driving decisions, and it seems like we could look at, and I'm not sure if I remember if something was in our packet before, comparing part-time legislators across the country and looking at ranges. We could spend some time on that. Number two, I think we could get a little bit more specific on both a short-term and long-term approach with some principles that they can then weigh in on, hopefully when they are able to pop their heads in the room, and if not, at the following meeting. So I think we could still get quite a bit done if we were to meet on Monday.
All right. So is the sense of the council that we should leave the meeting set for March 4 at 5:30 at the same date and time, and hopefully we'll try to meet in the Capitol to facilitate things for the legislators? So far, so good.
Great.
Then for meeting number 2, or it would actually be meeting number 4, in the scheme of things, what is the council's pleasure? Are Monday nights at 5:30 the least worst option?
Mr. Chair, I have the 11th on my calendar. I thought we.
So do I.
I thought
yeah,
we
some people
those.
Did, yeah. And so okay. I'm not suggesting we change it. I'm
just keep it.
Keep it.
Asking for a consensus if there is one on the meeting time. And I know there will be individual members who may have to miss part or all of one meeting, but we'll try to keep people up to date. So should we tentatively set or reconfirm the next two meetings, March 4 and March 11 at 5:30, at least March 4, hopefully in the Capitol, and March 11 to be determined. Consensus?
Yes.
All right. Any other discussion, or we have a motion to adjourn?
And just for the record, the Senate member, I can't speak for my Senate colleagues who aren't here, but at least for myself, I will be here next, plan to be here next Monday. We're in session at 11 o'clock a.m., so we should be done, unless we have the health insurance exchange up, but I don't believe we do.
All right. You want to renew your motion to adjourn, Senator Miller?
Renew my motion to adjourn.
Get a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.